At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right. Let's see. I now got to figure out what kind of what song I want to sing.
Oh. Trying to think about that one you did last night that always gets a feeling from people that you shared about it ain't him, he's leaving, or
well, if he tells you that he's leaving,
yeah.
So. Well, hey, I'm Jay Edwards, and that's what I do. Come out here and play music and kick around, stomp a little bit, and have some fun. Here's a little song I wrote. It's probably one of my favorite songs I've ever written, and hopefully I can do it. and I don't know why it's my favorite song, but I like it. And so it just kind of goes like, it's called I Don't Want to Know, and it goes like this. If he tells you that he's leaving, has some place he has to go. If you think it's her he's meeting, he says it ain't so. If he tells you he ain't cheating, he just likes to drink alone. If he tells you that he's leaving, darling, I don't want to know. If he tells you that he's leaving, friends are blowing up his phone. You just don't believe him. He knows that you won't. If you get that lonely feeling, you just need someone close. If he tells you that he I'd come running back to hold you like all the old times he's gone. So if you tell me that he If he tells you that he's leaving for a drive to find his soul, and it'll be a while before you see him, he don't know when he's coming home. And if he says you're not the reason, gotta face his problems on his own. If he tells you that he's leaving, this time I don't wanna know. 'Cause I'd come running back to hold you like all the other times he's gone. If he tells you that he's leaving, I don't want to know. When he tells you that he's leaving, but there's something else before he goes, and then he tells you he's been seeing someone else you might have known. If then you figure out you need me, you should have known it all along. When he tells you that he's leaving, this time I don't want to know. If he tells you that he's leaving, darling, I don't want to know. Oh, there you go. Like that right there.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
And we're off.
All right.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are in downtown Columbus, Mississippi at Munson & Brothers. Last night, Jay Edwards came to town and played for us here. He played a two-hour show, and if you missed it, you have one more opportunity here at Munson's once again on this Friday night to catch Jay Edwards. Jay, how you doing, man?
Man, doing good. We driving, boy. I tell you right now, we going running and gunning.
First time in Columbus?
That's in a long, long time. Yeah, I was here, 30-something years ago. I was here for a little bit, but Vista, my dad was preaching a revival here in this town, and we came over to hang out with him.
Very cool.
And so that's been a long, long time ago, though.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm from South Arkansas, El Dorado, Arkansas, but my dad is from the northeastern corner of Louisiana, so I get to claim both states. And I tell folks also, when I was growing up, the drinking age in Louisiana was still 18, so we spent a lot of time in Louisiana. So Daddy, if you hear that, there's no truth to that, but, you know.
For reasons unbeknownst to me. Yeah. I couldn't tell you why that was.
But we did used to run down to Louisiana a lot and see family and hang out down there. And El Dorado is just a short, I mean, you just about throw a rock and hit Louisiana from there. So so I grew up there and doing gospel music, singing with my family just turned over and, you know, started playing some of the honky tonk music and I've been all over the country, man, still doing it, still just ripping and running.
Yeah, so growing up in the church and singing gospel, what instrument would be your first? Would it always be guitar, or how would you start?
I play a little bit of everything. Mom started teaching us piano and keyboard just as soon as we could stretch your fingers out a little bit over to two or three notes. And And but I can remember even before that, you know, Dad showed me a few chords, and we were playing on guitar a little bit. High school, I started, in around the sixth grade, even picked up a cello and played for a little while.
Oh, man.
And then Mom, we needed a bass player at one time, and so Mom said, here, take this book and hold this bass and do your fingers like this right here. And she didn't play bass. She played accordion, piano, and a B3 organ, but she said, here, do your fingers like this and play this bass. And so I had to learn real quick, within a few weeks, and been able to play, at least some church numbers. And junior high, I started playing trumpet. And then my sister started playing clarinet. And you leave something laying around, we'd pick it up and play on it, mess with it, you know. So I've been playing at it for a long, long time. When I was a young man, my daughter was born. One of her great grandfathers gave her an old harmonica, and so I started honking on that. Sometime when she'd put it down, I'd play on it, and so
yeah.
You name it, I mess around with about everything there is.
I don't want to get too far ahead in the story, but when would you begin to cut your teeth in songwriting, or when did you want to begin to forge that path for yourself?
I wrote my first song when I was about 9.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a gospel song, and I guess just got inspired and went and talked to my mom, and I said, Mom, I wrote this, same as words down, and can you help me? And I had a part of a melody, and she sat there on the piano and helped me do it. But I remember, you know, being young, 12, and the little bit of stuff that I knew on piano, I'd just sit down and the chords that I like to play, and I like to play in all the black keys, you know. And so mm-hmm. I'd take something, go into the Book of Psalms and just start singing something out of that. And I came up in the 80s, so it was, that's what we did. I just grabbed that scripture and make a song with it.
Yeah, sure.
We don't even know if we got it in the right context, but we do it. And so, yeah, man, I've been writing songs for a long, long, long time. So
just from sitting in and listening to you last night, and man, thank you so much for sharing only originals, for one.
Oh, it was a blast.
Always like to hear an original set where we get to really see and hear who the performer is. And
yeah.
As I was taking in, of course, they had that country honky tonk. That was some soul.
Yeah.
A lot of stories, stories from where you were from and where you kicked some dust around, and also just stories from individuals that came across your path as you were coming, yeah. Man. So great catalog.
Yeah. Well, it's, I tell you what, people used to say, man, you've had all kinds of experiences, and, you know, they come through your songs. And I was like, well, no, I try not to write songs about myself as much. You know, you get caught up in just being you and explaining you to everybody, and folks get tired of that real quick. But what I do is that I observe and I look at other people and I think, you know, what would it be like to write a song about their life or something? And I've got some songs that a few of my friends said, man, I know you writing that song about me. And I was like, well, yeah, that was kind of about you. But it's just being observant and putting things down. What I do is that I like to try to tell people that I want to write the songs that people walk up to me and say, that's what I was trying to say. That right there is what I was trying to say. And so it takes a lot of the influences that I have and just trying to tell other people's stories and that's what we are, really, just musical storytellers. So we're supposed to be doing it.
Absolutely.
So
high school, middle school, was in the band picking up trumpets and different instruments along with your sister. What about exiting high school? Would it always be music for you, or would you get in the workforce, or what was?
I was, we were so involved in church I could be in the concert band, but you couldn't be in the marching band because that might take you out of church on like a football night or something, you might get taken out of church and have to go.
Sure.
So all that wasn't going to happen. And we didn't get too involved in the organized sports and that type of thing. But I did write all through high school, and I wrote Christian music. And then I started out, got married young, and was on the road doing Christian music and ministry. And so I wrote a ton of songs. I had a book of songs. And in fact, it was 15, 20 years ago. And I'd say 15, 20 years ago, I came across some of those old songs, and I just dumped them all in the trash. I said, oh man, I can't do this. But I did save a few of them. But you know, we just kept on in high school. You asked me about high school, but high school, we were always trying to put together a gospel band of some sort.
Yeah.
And you never could get anybody to really, really get involved in it and do it like I wanted to. And so I had to wait until I graduated and then went out on the road by myself or with my family and did the stuff then. I've played music for, it seems like it's been there every day, all day. So my whole life.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, if you don't mind. What about dumping those songs in the trash? What made you want to throw them away?
You know, I think that some of that might have been getting a taste of Nashville and looking and seeing how critical they were at the time. They're not this way anymore, and I promised my wife I wasn't going to get on no soapboxes. But, you know, when I first went to Nashville around 2009, it was all just deny, deny, deny. They didn't think you were even a real songwriter until you'd been in town for 10 years, 10 to 15 years. And then, you know, then it really didn't have anything to do with your songwriting. It was just that you had been there for so long, you kind of deserving to sit in the room while somebody else wrote a good song. But I mean, I went through the programs. I think I said this last night when I first went to Nashville, and I went through and their little evaluations and everything, and sang a few of my songs at the office down there at NSAI, Nashville Songwriters Association International. And I sang on my song, or two or three songs, and the boy just, I mean, he stood up, put his hands on the desk and said this, and flat out said, no, you just need to keep on going to Memphis. He said, there's no place for you here in Nashville. And he said, you have too much soul in your voice. You'll never be able to write country music. And I said, well, I can write a country song. He said, no, just do the blues, man. I'm just going to say do blues. And I was like, nah, that's wrong. I grew up on T.G. Shepherd and T. Graham Brown. And said last night, man, I was part of the generation that actually heard Johnny Paycheck first saying, take this job and shove it. The legend of Woolly Swamp, it wasn't all just Devil Went Down to Georgia. There was more old stories about, you know, Swampland and stuff like that then. So back to the point, I think it was that some of that, and I look back and realize that it was so immature at that time. And it might have been good and purposeful in the application, what you were doing with at that time. You know, the worship or choruses and things like that. But as far as actually real strong songwriting, I think that kind of embarrassed me a little bit. I was like, oh, man.
Took it personal.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is, yeah, I did repeat this one word four times in the whole song. And I could have used something else. And I found recently an old song, and it says, she knows I love her so. And I was like, what is love her so? Love her so, you know, using so to rhyme with no, just, you know, I love you so, instead of saying so much or whatever. And I was like, ah. And so, an easy fix on that one. I know that song. That song is a song I wrote called Carol Ann. And she knows And I just turned around back and said, she knows my heart and soul, you know, and then boom, it changed the whole song. But that was a song I'd written 20 years ago, and just recently just kind of, all you got to do is just tweak it a little bit. So, not to have run down a rabbit hole, but I think that's kind of what it was. It kind of looked back, and it's like, you know, I could write a whole lot better. And I kept some of the gospel stuff that I really thought that was cool, and I went back and tweaked some of it. I have a folder of the gospel music, but nobody really gets it except my folks, you know.
Well, just back to that rabbit hole for a second, leads me to this. Jay, is a song ever finished? Is it living and breathing?
I think it's finished to a point, but I think I see where you're going with that. You know, you sing a song to one person and he gets it this way. 10 years later, you sing that same song to another person and it has a totally different meaning to them. Sure. And it applies to their life in a whole different way. And I've heard songwriters say that. Say, some guy walked up to me and said, you know, when you said this and this and that, well, man, here's my story. And the songwriter said, to me, it didn't have anything to do with their story, but that person felt like it did. So I think in that standpoint, yeah, the song continues to be rewritten in the hearts of other people. But I think there is a time, you know, sometimes you just got to walk away from it and say, okay, that's done. Don't touch that no more. But now, that's also a big problem that some of those guys have in Nashville, too, is that they sit down 20 minutes, they've written a song, and it said what they wanted to say, but it's like, dude, you really should have spent more time on that. You could have made that a great song. But
left
you
a little bit too much on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's just... And that's the problem with, I think that's also the problem with, okay, to get on a soapbox, I think that's one of the problems that we have with the Christian music and music of ministry is that people feel that feeling and that inspiration while they were saying those words, and they think, well, that's what you have to sing, just that, without ever having to take the time to go back and say, you know what? You could change that phrase and it'd be more understanding to people. Dad used to say this. He said, you can play and sing and preach, do whatever you want to, but if people are not relating to it, you're just making noise. And so I think that you kind of got to get to that spot where, like what you're talking about, you have to go through there and say, you know what? I really felt this saying this, and it's fun to say it like that right there, but some people might not get it like that way. So let me tweak that line until everybody says, oh,
I get it.
I know what you're saying. And I mean, that's the same thing, you know.
That's an interesting way your dad put it, because the way he would put a song or a message in a sermon was the same as what Paul would relate to love.
Mm-hmm.
Beating on the noise is gone, but if you ain't got love, what have you got?
That's right.
That's interesting.
I tell you a little story, but my daddy, he said when his first message when he was about 19 years old, and he was just a young, he just started out preaching, and he's from down in Louisiana, and they had an old fellowship meeting, and he got up, he had him a thought, man, and it was a scripture, and...
Was he a fire and brimstone type?
Oh, yeah, man, he was. And he's like 17, 18 years old, and he jumps up, and they call his number, and he runs up there, and he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you see what I mean? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you see what I mean? And so he sat up there the whole 3.5 minutes and said the same two phrases over, you know, the scripture, and then said, do you see what I mean? And they started playing the piano, and he walked off the pulpit. He said, all he just said two phrases, you know, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Do you see what I mean? And so, evidently one person did, because they went up, patted him on the back, said, I heard what you saying, you know.
I feel it.
But everybody else is like, no, I mean, yeah, we know that one. Yeah, say it or tell me what you mean by that. And So it's you know, it's kind of that point. You can be inspired. You can be inspired to write a song. I had a buddy some years ago, and his name will come to me in a minute, but had a buddy some years ago, and we were sitting down writing, and he'd been just...
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Churning out songs with all the new kids coming to town and Gary. And Gary said, man, we say something this, that, and he said, and... coming in, you know, at work, and he said, "Well, snack cracking," and I said, "Or snap cracking," and I said, "Gary, what is that?" He said, "You know, when you come in after a hard, long day of work, and you need a snack, and you pop that top on that bottle," and he said, "That's a snap cracking." I said, "You just made that up. You know, that's not even a word." He said, "I know, but it sounds good, man." No, we're not going to just make up stuff to go
with. Ain't
that
what they say about a Southern man? Is he's got a million ways to say about anything. Yeah. There's a saying for everything.
Well, there might be, but just make up some syllables and throw them together. Oh, yeah, that's my new word for that right there. No.
Well, so, to kind of get back to the story of no. On the Memphis you go, what would you do then?
So, well, you know what? Okay, the end of that story was the fella looked at me and said, "No, you just need to keep on going to Memphis." And I said, "Well, I could write country songs." And then over at BMI, they told me, they said, "Well, you're not up on today's stuff, you know, and you need to..." So we like your stuff, but you're behind the times a while back. I said, "Okay, well, we'll see." And man, I had a little song that I had done some stuff with, and I put it out on Facebook. It's called "I'd Rather Be Lonely Here Than Lonely at Home." It's talking about a fella sitting at the bar, and he's, you know, he's cheering with everybody that's cheering for the football games or whatever. And he said, but he's not really with anybody. He says, "I'd just rather be lonely sitting right here at this bar than I had to be sitting at home lonely." And so I put this out on Facebook, and that same guy, I don't think he remembered it, who it was, that was me. He said, "Man, that is a great little country song right there." And I started telling him, I said, "Well, you know, thank you. We didn't get a cut, but we got a second listen from Mr. Merle Haggard before he passed away on that song." But I think it was really cool that the guy came back and he didn't know who I was. But
yeah,
the guy that he told said, "No, you need to keep on going to Memphis." He was like, "Dude, that is a great little country song right there." So, and he still don't know to this day. I don't think
right.
I don't think he knows to this day that it was me that he told it. But you know, I mean, I did some stuff in the blues circuits and the Chitlin circuits, and I love blues, but I mean, you know, I got a problem with that, just like I got a problem with other music. You know, I got problems with some of the country music that's out there right now, and I got problems with some of the blues music that's out there and the people that are playing it and the thing. In fact, I got a song that says, "Stop crying, because you ain't never had no blues," you know. And so, and I just, you can't make no money out there either. Can't hardly make no money at either one of those, country or blues or pop, rock and roll, whatever. But I just, I don't know. I stayed out of Memphis. I was in Memphis for a little while. In 2012, we went to do the International Blues Challenge over there in Memphis, and they didn't like me there then either. So it was like,
yeah, Memphis telling you no.
Yeah, I actually had somebody said that my songs weren't blues enough, and so I said, oh my gosh,
you ain't country enough, you ain't blues enough. Yeah. Are you gonna be enough?
Yeah, I just not enough for any of it. So, you know, the thing is, I'm just doing my own deal, and it's not just being a singer. I think being a songwriter is one of the biggest deals, is that I get to put the songs down, work on my songs, perfect my songs, get them the way I like them, and then I go out there and do them. And it's not because I've got a lot of major cuts or anything. It's just because I tell everybody I'm old and I'm mean and this is what I want to do. But it's just when I do come back and do cover music, I want it to be as a tribute or to be the songs that I really, really enjoy. And I don't want to just be out there playing something. And I definitely don't want to be all in this request line thing where you just,
absolutely
you don't
not.
Practice on nothing. You just walk out there and say, well, you want to hear one here. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. But I like doing what I'm doing. I might have jumped the gun a little bit. It's hard to get gigs when you tell people you're an all-original songwriter.
They're out there. I have a good friend of mine. He'll be here tonight. He runs a place called The Barn here in town.
Yeah.
So just on the outskirts.
Okay.
And we have a she's out of town, but she runs a place called the Sunstroke House.
Okay.
We have two venues that are run out of people's homes.
Oh, wow.
That only invite people who write all original.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted, his name is Steve Ellis, and I really wanted y'all to meet.
Yeah.
Because I believe you would be a perfect fit. And, Jay, I've really enjoyed you, so I would love to have you back in Columbus.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing, is that we've never been anywhere where folks said, nah, it's not what we're looking for. It's not what we want. It's always the gatekeepers and the people up front that are saying, well, no, I don't. My people want to, you know, they just want the songs that they can sing along to, that they recognize and they want to sing along
to. Or so many BPM to where they can shake it or whatever else.
Oh, I had a guy for years, he used to say, man, I'd love to get you out of my place, but my people, they don't like that original music. They just want them songs that they can, you know, they can sing along to. And they like that old Bob Seger stuff. And I said, well, I got songs that sound like Bob Seger. And finally, I played out of this place. I don't know what happened, but somebody got me to do something. I played out of his place. And they lined up. His regular people lined up. And they all told me the same thing. He's got the same people coming here all the time singing the same songs. And we never get to hear anything new. And this is like a breath of fresh air. I said, can you go tell him that? I think he's a little confused. But they were like, man, this is the first time we've heard anything new in forever, and we love it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what people were saying after last night and all day today is, man, thank you for getting him down here.
Yeah.
Is we don't, you know, we do, like, Columbus is a geographical oddity, so to speak. It's 3 hours from anywhere, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, when people are, I'm trying to watch people's calendars, and so if I see them, if they're going from Nashville and if they're headed south, I'm right in the way.
Yeah.
It's like, if you got a day to spare, hey, come.
You got to come through here.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so building that is, and also, I mean, I think people are really hungry for it. And
if
people will give original music a chance, like people often say is like, I don't like today's music.
Yeah.
And I was, well, you haven't heard everything. You don't know what's out there.
Right.
You might be sitting on the next thing that you really like.
Yeah. Well, there's a deal going around Nashville now, and, you know, the new folks that are coming to town, and they're saying, well, you know, the thing is, the drunk tourists downtown, they don't like original music.
Down on Broad Street.
Yeah, and somebody's done convinced them. They said, well, they don't like original music. The problem with is nobody's been telling them, hey, dude, they don't like your original music. You haven't put enough time in it. You haven't structured your original music enough that it's that good. So you're not at that place yet. It's not that the tourists don't want to hear original music. They just don't want to hear you right now. So,
right.
You know, and instead of taking that as something to go back and work on their craft, you know, well, we're going to blame it on the tourists. You know,
I don't know. I was at a place not long ago. I don't want to describe it too much. But anyway, it was promoting independent music. And everybody was up there saying, oh, thank you for what you do for independent music. And you do this and that. And I said, you know, the great thing about independent music is there's nobody looking over your shoulder telling you what to do.
Sure.
You know what the worst thing about independent music is? There's nobody looking over your shoulder telling you, hey, I wouldn't throw that out there right now. I'd work on that a little bit more. So it's the same thing. The same thing that's good about it is the same thing that we really need somebody. There's nobody that's responsible to say, hey, man, that's not finished yet. You really need to rewrite that one maybe two or three more times.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just is what it is. But
well, Jay, tell me a little bit about today of how often are you staying on the road and where are you calling home now? And, I mean, tell me about this rock and roll you got going on, because you got some people traveling the roads with you.
Yeah. We're doing great. I keep my wife goes with me now, since she won't let me go by myself anymore. But no, we go out and I'm on the road a lot, and I like it. I'm an old road dog. I want to be on the road, but I'm getting to this place now where, you know, I could be back at the house and with a chainsaw and cutting down some of the brush in my backyard and
sure.
Be happy too. And the fact that I've got my own studio and I write my songs is that I like to be cutting my own music and stuff. So I'd like to be gone 18 days out of the month or so and then spend the rest of the time at the house and a little bit of that time maybe fishing. And that's another thing is that we get out here on the road and we don't have time. Somebody said, oh, man, you were just out in Wyoming. Did you go see? I was like,
you know, I didn't.
No, we saw the back end of a diesel truck, you know, driving, and then we saw the back door of a venue, and we loaded in, and we loaded out, and a green room or two, and that was it, man. Then we're back there, and we saw the hotel.
I saw yellow and white dotted lines
yeah,
for the most
it.
Part.
That's it. But yeah, we travel all the time. Next week, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. Morgantown, West Virginia, over near Philly at West Grove, Pennsylvania, and then back over towards Youngstown, Ohio at Clark, Pennsylvania, and then we come home for a week or so. I'll tell you this, when I'm at home in Nashville, I live right outside of Nashville in Hermitage, but when I'm at home in the Nashville area, I have a little platform I put together some years ago called Nashville Uncovered. And two things. One is I don't do any covers, so, you know, therefore Nashville Uncovered. But also, it's also peeling the covers back a little bit from Nashville, kind of showing people what Nashville used to be. Man, we still got a ton of people coming in from all over the world that think Nashville is Music City, like it's supposed to be. And, there he goes. And so, you know, we're playing. Funny thing is that we're playing up at the food court right there at 5th and Broadway, and that looks good on a resume, you know, sarcastically he said. Playing the food court, but man, the tourists are swarming in there to get something to eat, and they sit there and listen to a 3-hour concert. You playing original music, and invariably, as soon as it's over, they stand in line and say, when are you coming to Boston? When are you coming to Houston? When are you coming to Miami?
And when you book me.
Yeah. And I say, when can we get there? And, you know, what's the date you got open? I can't tell you the stack, the amount of cards and stuff that are on my desk right now that say, hey, there's a festival in my hometown, this, this, and this. Here's the number you need to check into. And, that you know, these people will have you out. Or I work with the festivals, and we come to Nashville looking for the music. And so call me next month, and we're going to book you for May of next year. So I just got a call 2 days ago while we were on the road, and we're already booking festivals in Indiana and things like that. And it's out of going back and doing that just when everybody else is doing – the same old thing down on Broadway and where the tourists go, and you got one guy out there with this little light, little candlelight, and he's singing original music. And, man, you're talking about Nashville's a big town, but it's getting to be where I'm the biggest duck in that little puddle. So,
yeah.
You know, because I'm the only guy doing that stuff. And I've been down there 10 years doing all original on Broadway and Second Avenue, and that hadn't been done in the last 35 years. So that's patting myself on the back a little bit, but, you know, that's what it's all about.
It's needed.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I've got three more questions, and okay. We'll walk it out the door. Question one is, for someone out there who is aspiring to write, maybe they've been playing guitar for a few years, and they've learned their favorite cover songs, and now they're trying to figure out, how do you write a song? What would you say to that person?
I think it's just today's. It's just like anything else that you want to try to do. Just like trying to learn how to play guitar. What do? You get on there and you go on YouTube, and you start looking at, you know, this person, that person. They show you this system, that system. And you start playing, and it's the same thing. There are so many things out there that can get you started and get you going in writing songs and stuff on the internet, but. I think the best thing to do once you've got a handful of songs, is find somebody, find you somebody that feel like you might want to attach yourself in the business somewhere just a little bit above where you are, and send them some stuff. Get that critique, but stop sending stuff to your mom and your grandmom and them, because they're gonna say, "Oh, my baby, this is great! Oh, it's awesome! It's awesome!" You got to stop doing that. You got to get out there to somebody that's, look, man, this is not, you need to do this and take that out and don't do that. And, you know, I had a friend of mine told me one of my most requested songs he listened to one day, and he said, "Yeah, I wasn't even interested until you got to that last part right there." And so he just hard critical, man. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what you got to have. And, you know, you can't get out there, and if you get up there too high, somebody's going to be wanting to take your money. So they're going, "Oh, that's a great one. You know what you need to do? Give me $2,500. Give me $5,000. We'll make you a single, and you'll get this amount." Stay away from that. But get out there to somebody that really likes you and can take an interest in you or something, or somebody that doesn't have anything to lose, and let them critique what you're doing and see if you got anything. If you got something, somebody's going to want to kind of try to work with you. If you don't, you know, they're going to be brutally honest, and they're going to just tell you, "Hey, man, it's not working." And, you know, and then when you get a hit songwriter somewhere down the road that says, "You know what, man, I could help you with that song right there," and then you know you got something, and and they're just wanting in on that one, because that's a good one right there.
Right on.
So, you know. Put your thoughts down. Get away from you writing about you and all your feelings. Write about somebody else. And stop letting mama and grandmama be your critiques. You know, just let them.
They're going to tell them babies what them babies want to hear.
Yeah, that baby is good. Sing that one I love. You love it because it mentions you, mama. That's all, you know. So, yeah.
Question two is, as far as following you and your music, if someone was interested in booking you, where is the best place for that? Is there a website? Social media that you're most active on?
It's both, but I think the best thing to do is go to the website, which is just the letter J. It's J Edwards, but just the letter J, no period or anything. Looks like J Edwards, but it's not. It's jedwardsmusic.com or .net. It'll take you to the same place. I got both of those. jedwardsmusic.net or .com. And there's all kinds of places on there. There's a contact me page that comes straight into my office. And, I don't have a lot of people chasing, you know, my stuff around. I don't let people touch my business deals. I'll answer you back, and we'll talk from there. So there's even a telephone number there to the office at my house and studio. And so, but, you know, you can go, if somebody likes to do social media, they can contact me through social media too. But all the social media is listed right there on the link tree. Best thing to do is just go to jedwardsmusic.net and pow, you can find any which way to get a hold of me. If somebody says they can't, they're having a hard time getting a hold of me. They ain't trying that hard. I tell you that. Yeah, we made it so easy, so easy.
Well, Jay, I really appreciate your time spent here with us in Columbus. I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Last question to walk it out the door is, man, have you got anywhere cool or interesting you're going to be traveling to that maybe you ain't been able to lay eyes on yet that you've been excited to get to?
I've been all over. I've been everywhere, man.
Look out now.
You know, I don't know. We're coming to the end of the year, and we don't book out like 2 years in advance. So, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of stuff. The last few years, since about 2018-19, I got in with a buddy, John Schneider, Bo Duke from Dukes of Hazzard, you know, and he was phenomenal country singer in the 80s and still is, and he's got some great songs. So and we run with Keith Burns and from Trick Pony, and so Cody McCarver, who was with Confederate Railroad for a while, and it's just, you know, some of those guys, we're putting other folks with us, we're getting out there and running, doing some things. So it's I know there's some surprises around the corner real soon, but I don't know, I can't think of anything that's on the books that I've never been to yet.
I tell you what, let's close with this. Tell us that story about you being invited out by one of the Duke brothers, and he was
yeah,
if you don't mind, we'll close out with that.
Yeah, that's John. Well, so I met John at CRS 2019, and it just hit it off, man. I mean, we had a big time, and I'd go down and play his birthday party, and he called me up one time and he said, "Hey, you got your passport?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right, well, block off these dates right here. We're going to go for the weekend." And I said, "All right." Well, he tried to keep it a secret. He finally had to let me know where he was going so my wife would know where I was at, you know. And so we jumped on a little charter jet and ran down to Dominican Republic for Kid Rock's birthday bash at the Hard Rock Cafe. And played and sang. He said, "Bring your guitar." And that was the coolest thing. We were sitting up on the stage. You know, everybody else is rocking out, and they're just big bands and going nuts and crazy. And then here's these four guys walk up there with acoustic guitars and start singing original music. Man, I had big old military guys coming up out of the pool and wanting to hug my neck and squalling like babies. That was really cool. But John called me. He says, that year, 2019, he cut two of my songs, "Duck Blind" and "Long Way from Lonely."
Oh, "Duck Blind," that's such a fun song. Look that one up, guy. If you're from the country, you really gonna like that one.
You like that one? I'll take you to the woods. But he cut "Duck Blind" and "Long Way from Lonely," and then he called me up and he said, "Hey, man, let's go do some shows, and you want to go do some stuff?" And I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "Oh, I've made it. I've made it to the big time." And so the theaters that we did were drive-in theaters. And so you'd get up there in front of one of them old B-movies that he'd made, you know, and they'd play. We'd play some music, and then they'd show one of his B-movies that they'd just made recently. It is fun stuff. But then the other thing was we ended up in the infield at old dirt track. He'd be out there driving a modified car on dirt track, look like the General Lee, and just running. And I'd be out there choking on dust trying to sing songs. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we could do a little bit better than this. But we still run around and do some things, man. Hey, I'll tell you what he did. Just here a while back, me and him and Keith and Clayton Q went over to St. Joe, Texas, and played Rednecks with Paychecks and a Mud Bog, and it's like 1,200.
Where does that happen for people listening?
That is in St. Joe, Texas, man.
St. Joe.
Yeah, above Dallas, Fort Worth. But golly, I ain't never seen so many rednecks first, but I mean mud trucks and beads, and oh, it was crazy. Golly, it was nuts, man. It's just acres and acres and acres of mud pits, and they do parades all day long, people just having a big time. So,
Right on. Yeah,
that was nuts. I'm not gonna lie to you. So.
Well, Jay just left us with a cool little story there. Yeah. Thank y'all, everyone, for listening. Go follow Jay Edwards. Do yourself a favor.
Come on, come see me.
All right, thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.